Father, as always, I thank you. You said that my spirit that is upon you and is in your mouth shall not depart from you. That's right. And so, Lord, we thank you because the Holy Spirit is with us day to day. So I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will send you, you said, power of the Holy Spirit, another comforter, be with you. And today I thank you for thy word as well. The entrance of that word gives light. It's the word of God. It's like a hammer. Hallelujah. It's a thing that can bring things back to life. Break down some things, negative things, give life to other things. And so let it be in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to do a little exercise. And this is something that you need to be doing in the days ahead. But first, you know, let's read the story in the Bible that goes along with this. Now, this lesson is about, as you can see, the title, Prophesy Upon the Dry Bones and Unto the Wind. Well, what are we going to prophesy? Well, awake. That's right. Awake. You know, dead bones need to awake. The wind needs to come back in, you know, shake things up and so forth. So let's read this popular story. There's a few things that the Lord might bring out of it to us. Let's read it. And the book of Ezekiel 37. There's a reason why, you know, the Lord made Ezekiel to enact this thing because of what the people were saying. You know, the people were saying our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are cut off from our parts. That's what the people were saying. You know, you can read that in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11. So, you know, if that's the way you felt, you have nothing going on. I mean, yeah, you know, you heard the word that things should be going on, but nothing really going on. But it seems, on the other hand, like everything is dry, you know. So there are maybe things that are dead, dying, decayed, or decaying. That's right. Those four, you know, spheres of things are the things I want to come out and prophesy against and over this morning. You notice that each one of those things start with the letter D. The things that are dead, the things that are dying, the things that are decayed, or the things that are decaying. So, you know, let's see what the Lord can do in bringing back these things. So that's the theme of today. It's not that you haven't heard it before or read it yourself, but it's an anointing that breaks the yoke. You know, that's what God does. There's always a different anointing for whatever God is doing. And it's kind of like every time you go into the congregation, the fellowship and so forth, we often like to say, well, it's a different anointing for every service. You know, we can't put God in a box. But when the Lord says it is, here's what he wants you to do, it's because that's what he wants you to do. And there's a reason for it. So praise the Lord. Well, this story, like I said, the people were saying, our bones are dry, things are cut off, things are dead, things are dying, things are decayed, things are decaying. But the Lord said to Ezekiel. So I'm going to read about 11 verses or so out of this Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord, or maybe even more verses, was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down the valley, the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. So the Lord was going to have him enact, you know, part of this revelation and this vision. And, you know, it's the word of the Lord. And those prophets in those days, sometimes they were made to enact part of it. And the Lord easily say, caused me to pass by them. So it was the Spirit of the Lord that carried him like that. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. He perceived that too. And the Spirit of the Lord said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, let me put it this way. Can these bones live again? Because at one time they were actually alive. But now they've been dead for a long time. And then, well, this guy, a very, very prudent answer here. He said, well, O Lord God, thou knowest. Well, that's always a prudent answer. And the Lord asks you a question. That's a prudent answer, you know, and then the Lord is going to tell him, of course the Lord knows, you know, the Lord, sometimes he will just engage us, because he already knows what he's going to do, but sometimes he'll engage us, you know, one time he engaged the disciple, he said, you know, give them to eat, you know, when they were about to send the crowd away. He himself, within himself, knew what he was going to do. And he knew there was no food around, but he knew what he was going to do. So, but he does like to engage us in the things that he does. And that's the thing that we actually want to bring out today, is the engagement part. You know, don't miss that in this story today and what we're going to do here. You know, so there are a lot of theatrics and drama in this story, but there is something beyond all of that. You know, that Lord wants to call out. The role that Ezekiel played is what we want to call out here. It's not so much, well, the fact that the bones came back to life and all of that too, we're going to call that out, but don't lose sight of the role that Ezekiel played. Now, the Lord by himself, the Spirit of the Lord could have just moved upon those bones, could have just, you know, caused a shaking and a rattling all by himself. The Lord could have, you know, caused the wind to come into the bones by himself. I mean, he didn't necessarily need to engage Ezekiel, but he did. And so we're going to find out why. Now, the Lord said to him, you know, prophesy upon these bones. Now, I want you to take a close look at what the Lord said, you know, because what the Lord says is what must be done. If you can't do something otherwise and expect it to work. Now, the language that he's going to use here is prophesy upon. Now, because these bones are on the ground, they are dead. They are very dry. Ezekiel didn't know how long they've been there. And we don't know. You know, Lord didn't tell us. But the Lord knew how long they've been like that. And here's what he was asked to say unto them. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, so this is not exactly prayer. You know, Ezekiel was not asked to go up and stand in the hedge and make up the gap, you know, and so forth like that. Stand the gap and make up the edge and pray that the Lord will do this thing. Well, you know, there were times for that, but not this time around. This time around, he's not being asked to pray. He's being asked to do something. And different than just prayer. And what he was told was, prophesy upon these bones, say to the bones, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. So, I mean, let's think about that for a minute. Can dry bones actually hear the word of the Lord? Well, yes, because if not, he wouldn't have been given the instruction to do exactly that. So, dead things, dying things, decayed things, and decaying things, and, you know, dry things even here, or things that are drying up. All these things start with the letter D. you know, whether they are dry or drying, whether they are dead or dying, whether they are decayed or decaying. You know, God say, well, prophesy unto these things. And then say unto them, thus saith the Lord, O ye dry bones. Now, in this case, we see that you must face the situation point blank. You know, you've already done prayer, you already heard the word of the Lord, all this Emerge series and all that stuff and so on. But now you must face the situation head on. You know, and talk to the situation. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. Now, you know, let me tell you something also about prophesying. Anytime that you repeat the word of God, that's prophesying. And people try to make something, you know, goofy and stuff out of all the prophesying stuff. You know, I'm not talking about being a prophet. I'm talking about prophesying. You can prophesy. And the Lord tells you something and you repeat it, that's prophesying. The Lord gave him instruction. Prophesy unto these bones. And then he's going to do exactly that. You know. And then the Lord will give, you know, what he's going to do. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Glory to God. Now, so think of the situations that are dead around you, dying, decayed or decaying, dry or drying up, and speak the word of God. Prophesy that these things must awake. That's what we're doing this morning. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. And he did, and he said, well, so I prophesied as I was commanded. You know, he did exactly what he was commanded. See, and when you do as the Lord commands you, something happens. Something will happen. Even as he did here for Ezekiel. Well, Ezekiel didn't really know what was going to happen. But, you know, he knew the Lord was going to show him something. And as he did what the Lord said, he said, and as I prophesied, first there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. Glory to God. Now, the noise is God gave the word. Great is the company that published it. That's a publishing. As soon as God gives the word, something begins to happen. Something begins to shake. It comes forth a rattling. Something begins to shake. It's like when somebody is sleeping in a deep sleep and you want to wake them up. And you go there, you tap on them a little bit, but they don't wake up. Then you have to shake their foot or whatever. Shake them up a little bit. You know, to wake up, you know, wake up, you know, so there was a shaking. Hallelujah. And then the bones, I mean, just imagine it, you know, imagine what was happening right in front of Ezekiel. He'd never seen anything like it before. You know, I mean, all these dry bones, skeletons and things like that. I mean, shaking and noise and all of that. And the next thing you know, these bones started to come. Now, these bones were in pieces. They were not entirely together. I mean, maybe the bones from the hands, you know, and the feet, I mean, the legs probably were scattered. Maybe the skull was scattered and so on. I mean, these things began to come together. Now, the bones that belonged to this one, you know, body did not go over to the other body. They knew where to go. Each one came together. See, the bones came together. Bone to his bone, not just bone to bone. You know, it's not just bone to bone. It's bone to his bone. So there were, it's not just, you know, just any kind of bone, you know, without purpose, just put everything together. No, no, no. God has purpose, and the things that came apart, he's going to put them back together where they belonged. I'm going to take the bone from this one body and put in the one for that one, and they all got mixed up. No, no. It's bone to his bone. So he put in each one together exactly where they belong. And, well, and then he continued to look, and he said, when I looked, first the shaking, the rattling, and all the noise and so forth, and then the bones began to come together, and as he began to look, he looked some more, and then he saw the sinews, you know, flesh started coming upon them, and it looked like, you know, something was going on here. And he's looking some more to see, well, what is going to be the end of this thing? And the skin began to cover them above. And when they did all of that, well, he waited for something, some action, some more action, but there was no breath. These bones came alive, but yet there was no breath. And there were two realms from which God is going to do something to cause these bones to come alive and to start performing. You know, so he was given the first commandment, prophesy upon the bones. And he did that. And he just had to step back and see what will happen to the bones. And he saw it. And all the bones came back, skeleton, bones, skull, you know, and all, you know, the bones just came back together. And the next thing, you know, flesh began to cover them and so forth. And it looked like, each one looked like a real person, but they had no life. And so, you know, the Lord said to him again, now this time, prophesy unto the wind. Now remember, prophesy upon the bones. This time, prophesy unto the winds. That's right. That's exactly what God said. Those things were different. And the action, the realm in which you are operating that was different. And so he said, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Wow. So I prophesied again, as he commanded me. Now you have to do it exactly like I command you. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, because the whole time Ezekiel is still wondering about what meaneth all of these. And so the Lord said to him, these bones are the whole house of Israel. You know, behold, every one of them that says, our bones are dried and our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, you know, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord. I've opened your graves, brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I'll place you in your own land. You shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, you can see that the enactment was something prophetic for the children of Israel, the house of Israel, scattered everywhere, dried up and everything, but it's coming. But you see, because the word of God is eternal, you know, you can take any part of the word of God under the right circumstances and you can apply it. You know, even when God said it one way, you can use it and it can work a different way. Many times people will quote things from the scriptures and say, you know, as it is written, or as was spoken by the prophet, somebody, and they will be quoting something, and they might be quoting something else, you know, I mean, something that was intended for something else, but they are quoting it because it can work. It's like Peter was quoting, you know, Joel. Well, we can quote Joel today and it worked the same. I mean, it's kind of like the word of God as dual prophetic many times, you know. I mean, in the book of Hosea, you know, chapter 11, we see the prophet saying, you know, something, you know, that about something that actually happened, right? It's happened before, but it'll happen again in Christ. He said, when Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Well, we know that exactly happened. I mean, you've read the story in Egypt and so on, you know. And, but when Jesus was born in the book of Matthew, and when, you know, Herod was trying to kill all the babies, and God told Joseph to flee to Egypt with the child and so forth, you know, the scripture put a commentary there, you know, and said that, you know, well, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet Osi, that out of Egypt have I called my son. You know, so, you know, something that already happened, and we see the scripture repeating it in the life of Jesus and saying, well, this thing was done, you know, so that it might be fulfilled, what Hosea said. But what Hosea said was actually about Israel in those days. I came out of Egypt. Well, so you see how the word of God works. Just because it was specific to Israel at one time doesn't mean that, you know, it can't work and apply to another situation. You can read that in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15. You know, in verse 14, he was told to take the young child, his mother, by night and depart into Egypt. And he did. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. The prophet was actually saying something that was past, but yet it's future. You know, so, you know, never mind about, you know, the specifics. God's word is eternal. You can use the word of God. You know, many times even Jesus quoted certain things. He just said, well, did not the scripture say you are gods? You know, God was talking to a different set of people at that time, but, you know, he quoted it. I mean, people quote these things all the time, and it works because it is the word of God. Now, so this thing, even though it was depicting the story of the house of Israel, you know, and we know it, that's exactly what the Lord did, gathered them from different places, brought them back to their own land. You know, it will work for us as well. All we have to do is get in the spirit, you know, get in the spirit. The Bible says that, you know, God's word is in the whirlwind, you know, his steps are in the wind, you know, he's going forth in the whirlwind. You get in the wheel, W-H-E-E-L, of his spirit, and you can move things like that, just like Ezekiel did. And so that's what we are looking at this morning. But let's look at a few other things, and I'm going to give you some promises that will help as we go through these times that are coming up ahead. You know, there is a story I want to talk about, what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 11. I'm going to bring out something, you know, that he called himself, which you may not have thought you can apply to this situation. But we are going to do it this morning. In the book of John 11 and 25, here's what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, what does that mean? Well, resurrection means bring something back to life. The life means give life and sustain that which is living. Praise God. You know, so Jesus is the one that can bring something back to life and sustain that which is living or about to die or dying, you know, and so forth. And he can do all of that. He's a resurrection. If it's dead, he'll bring it alive. If it's living, he'll keep it alive and sustain it and make it vibrant. You know, I am the Lord, the life. He said, look, not only give you life, but give you the abundant life. You know, in John 10 and 10. So he makes it vibrant. And he said, well, he that liveth, you know, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Well, let me put it to you this way. In the framework of today's room, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. But I want to talk to situations that are dead or dying, decayed or decaying, you know, dried up or drying up. I want to say to them that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You know, any situation that was already dead, coming back to life. And the one that is alive shall never die. Jesus will sustain it in this process of emerging. That's what he wants to do. And that's exactly what he's going to do. Once you catch the revelation, you know, that's what he's going to do. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17 will tell you that God is the one. God doesn't bury the dead, but he raises the dead. And he causes those things that are not, cause them forth as though they already are. You know, but there is a part that Ezekiel had to play. There's a part that you must play. There is a part that the disciples played when he said, set them down in companies and 50s on the grass and give them food. It was a part they played. And their part was Jesus took the little lunch. You know, just a couple of fishes, two loaves and five fishes is what we're told. Just small. It's just enough for, you know, a little boy. Maybe the mother packed enough for him to have a long meal. Eat several times through the day or whatever. But it wasn't any more than for just one person. But the part that the disciples had to play was when the Lord blessed that thing. He put it right back into the disciples' hands. And then the Lord walked away. You know, so. And then let the disciples handle business. So that's the part that when you engage in the process, the Lord puts something in your hands. And then the stuff that you have to do. Now, there is something that the Lord has put in my mouth today that I must do. And there's something that the Lord is going to put in your mouth that you must do anytime that you see that things are not going the way they should be. You know, even now, if things are not the way they should be, and maybe things that are dead, things that are dying, decayed or decaying, dried up or drying up. Well, that's a role that you must play. You know, and the Lord asked Martha, do you believe this? I mean, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that things that die, Christ is able to bring them back to life, and things that are living is able to sustain them? You believe that? Well, there are many, you know, many dimensions of revelation that can come from one single verse. But do you believe all of those things? Now, the Lord specializes in the things that we call impossible. You know, those things that Ezekiel was seeing in that dramatization that happened in front of him, they were impossible. You know, whoever heard of such a thing, that bones that have been drying and laying the ground for years, who know, only God knows how long, will come back to life like that. Well, there are many promises that God gave for us that will encourage your hearts that you will flourish at this time. I'm going to read through just a few of these promises and then we're going to enact something here similar to what Ezekiel did. You know, now, things are in the coming days, months, and even years ahead, you're going to need to do this from time to time. That's why the Lord is preparing you for it. And the Lord already said it, and he'll watch over it. But you have to contend for it. We'll cover that in this room. And there are many things that the Lord promised us. He promised that the righteous shall flourish. Well, Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15 tells you that the righteous shall flourish. Even in old age, will flourish. You know, you will flourish. Psalm 34 verse 10 tells us, same thing in Psalm 23 and verse 1. I'm going to go through these very quickly. That you will not be in want. Well, there will be situations that look like you're going to be in want because things are not blossoming. But you're going to have to do something about it. And we will show you what you need to do from time to time here today. The Lord is able to lift the poor from the dunghill, set them among princes. In other words, change their story. Psalm 113, verses 7 to 8. And of course, we're quoting the prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel. You know, now, you will not beg bread. You will not, I mean, you will have sufficiency. Psalm 37 and verse 25. I've been young, I'm old, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Hallelujah. There's always coming a breakthrough for you. And these are just promises that you can latch onto. No matter how dark it is right now, the night cannot last forever. Psalm 30 and verse 5. You know, no matter how long the sorrow lasts, in the night, joy is coming in the morning. So the day must break, no matter how long the night is. I've never seen any night that lasted forever. Someday, the day will last forever when God removes darkness and the light comes straight from the lamp. But now, we still have the days and nights, but the night cannot last forever. It will, at some point in time, the day must break. Joel chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 will tell you, the Lord has promised for you to eat in plenty and be satisfied and never be ashamed. Well, that's right. Same thing he says in Psalm 37, verses 18 and 19. You'll be satisfied even in famine. Praise the Lord. Now, are you currently thinking, my bones are dry? You know, it has not fallen unto me like the word of the Lord said, you know, and so on. Well, the Lord says to you, you know, that he is going to change that, but you are going to play a part in it. O thou afflicted, Isaiah 54, you know, tossed with the wind and so forth, and not even comforted. You know, sometimes people are even afflicted. I mean, you can apply these words to any aspect of your life. You know, sometimes people are afflicted with various things. And the Lord said, well, even in that affliction, there is something, you know, that the Lord wants you to do. When you are tossed with the wind, when you are afflicted and so forth, you know, Isaiah 54 verse 11, the Lord said, well, I'm going to bring a change. I'm going to lay your stones with fair colors and the foundations with sapphires. I'm going to make your windows of agates and your gates of carbon tools, your borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children have been taught of God. And it just went on and on and on and on. You know, things that the Lord can change for you, even when you say, well, you know, everything is dry. The Lord said, no, look again. Praise the Lord. In one moment, Ezekiel was looking, all he saw were dry bones. Well, a few moments later, what he saw was a powerful army. Well, the Lord, he has a way that he can do all those things. And our perspective, his perspective, many times is different than ours. There is a story in Exodus chapter 3. And I love to refer to this story and, you know, talk about it in many different angles. Today, I want to talk about the fact that Moses, when he stood on the ground there and was looking at the bush that was burning but not consumed, what Moses thought he saw, and actually what he did see, was bush. And he saw dirt. And he saw sand. And might have seen some rubbish. I don't know what all was in on the ground. Maybe some dead leaves, maybe different things and so forth. You know, maybe that's what he saw. Because that's what's in the bush. But God saw something different. God saw a holy ground. God called it holy ground. Moses said, well, it was bush. God said, no, this is holy ground. And what made it holy? The presence of God. But you can look at it this way. In one moment, that thing was bush. It was dirt. It was dust flying around. It was dead leaves and different things. I don't know what was crawling up there. Maybe lizards or what have you. That was one moment ago. But then in another moment, it became holy ground. That's right. That's how God, that's how the presence of God can change something. It can change what's dead or dying, what's decayed or decaying, what is dry or drying. It can change all of that. And listen to this. I love this in Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. You know, there is hope of a tree. Well, in this particular case, this tree is dead. Well, maybe dead, maybe dying, maybe dried up, maybe decayed or decaying, whatever the condition of that tree is, that is not quite right. There's hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground. This thing could be dead, could be rotting in the ground. But yet through the scent of water, glory to God, it'll bud again and bring forth boughs like a plant. That's right. So that's what we're going to do. The word of prophecy today will be like the scent of water to the dying or the dead trees. But the word of prophecy is in your mouth. Well, it's in my mouth, but is it in yours? Here's the way the Bible puts it. You know, in the book of Romans chapter 10, to assure you that this word is indeed in your mouth. That's right. He said, look, don't try to say who shall descend into the deep to bring Christ up from the dead, Romans 10 and 7. You know, don't try to say who's going to go up to bring, let me read it from verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep to bring him up again from the dead? Well, he's no longer there. But what does it say? Well, it says the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. That's right. That's what is in your mouth. That's what the Lord, that's where he wants it to be at. You know, that word is in your mouth. And the word of the Lord today that's in your mouth that the Lord says is, well, you're going to prophesy upon the dead things in your life. You know, and then you're also going to prophesy unto the wind. You know, remember Jesus, when he called forth Lazarus, there were two things that happened, or two phases that happened, or two dimensions. First, he called him out from the graves. But when he came out from the grave, he was still like a zombie. He was still bound, you know, and with all the grave clothes and so forth. But Jesus said, well, set him loose. Glory to God, you know. So, you know, and that's exactly where we are today. The things that are dead or dying, decayed or decaying, dried up or drying up, you know, the Lord is going to put his words in your mouth and you're going to speak life to those things. As for me, this is my covenant with you, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon you, Isaiah 59 and 21, and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from thy mouth. You know, you got to use these words as part of this process of emerging. So today, the Lord has commanded me to come out here and prophesy unto the wind, prophesy upon dead situations, and prophesy unto the wind to bring life into those things. There's got to be a shaking, going to be a rattling, it's going to be a noise. Glory to God. And when we do it here in this room, subsequent to this, you must do it on your own as well. When you get up and you're going through the day and it looks like things are not going the way that the Lord said they should go, and then remember, prophesy upon the bones and prophesy unto the wind. And say, come forth from all the corners and bring life to this situation. And if you know how to do it, you know, at first, you may seem like, what in the world is that? But you can do it. You know, Jesus knew the disciples could do anything that he wanted them to do. And so he left it in their hands. You know, it was the disciples that fed the multitudes. It wasn't Jesus exactly. You know, people said, oh, well, Jesus worked a great miracle. He did. But it was actually the miracle happened in the hands of the disciples. Didn't happen in the hands of Jesus. You just put a blessing on it and give each a small piece to everybody. But the miracle of supply and continuous supply, continuous multiplication was happening in the hands of the disciples. Now God has put a blessing upon you by the word, a prophetic word that he released for us that we will emerge. That's already out there, but now it's in your hands. You know, so now you must go forth and you must release. See, the disciples had to dish it out of their own hands. You can't go back to Jesus and say, give me some more bread. No, he already gave you your own portion. Now it's left to you to dish it out to the 50s that are sat down and different ones. It's already in your hand. And it looks like a small piece at first. Just a little piece of bread and some pieces of fish. It's what Jesus gave to each one. That was no big deal. It's easy to break 2 loaves into 12. It's easy to break a couple of fishes into 12. That's no big deal. Anybody can do that. You can do that. I can do that. It's no big deal. It is a big deal, though, when you have a small piece of bread in your hand and a small piece of fish in your hand. And out of that small piece of bread, a small piece of fish. It's a big deal when you have to feed thousands from that. And as you begin to cut one small piece and give it to somebody, you notice that, my goodness, this thing does not even diminish. And, you know, as long as there is more people to feed, you have more to dish out. And as long as it works in two ways. As long as there are people to feed, you have something to dish out. And as long as you are willing to dish it out, you know, then it keeps on increasing and multiplying in your hand, not in the hand of Jesus. Just already did his part and just walked away. You know, and so now, you know, it's in your hand. And again, it's in your mouth. Praise the Lord. So right now, I am going to declare the word of the Lord unto dry bones and unto the wind as well. Upon every dry bone that is represented here today, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, that's right. You know, say, I will cause you to leave. Glory to God. The situations that are dead in your life or dying, the situations that are decayed or decaying, the situations that are dried up or drying up. Because the Bible says the enemy is the one that comes in to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Well, kill your dreams, steal, destroy your life, you know, it's what he does. And the things that appear dead, that the enemy has killed. For everyone, all the things. Now, I want you to focus on those areas that are dead. Glory to God. I'm not calling today for any raising of hands, because you're going to do it yourself, wherever you are. And as you hear me do it, you start doing it too. Any things that are dead and decaying, or dying, or dried up, or drying up. What Lord said, speak into those situations. Speak upon those situations that they come back to life. Glory to God. You know, Jesus, you know, sometimes you have to cry with a loud voice too. You know, cry with a loud voice for Lazarus to come out of there. And he did. And then he had to command something else again. You know, sometimes you command the bones that come back to life, and you got to command some more stuff again. There's got to be movement. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I'll bring the things back to life. But then I have to give life to it as well. I'm the life that will sustain it. So I command the spirit of life, the spirit first of resurrection upon the dead bones, and then come back to life in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And I command the wind. Said, well, I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesy unto the winds. Yes. You know, the God has a different kind of wind. You know, I prophesy unto those winds. Come forth upon these bones that are now coming back to life. And sustain them. And let there be movement in Jesus' name. Now, I want to pray specifically against stagnation. That's right. Stagnation is a dangerous thing. You know, people just, that's why God said, you have dwelt long enough in this place. You know, stagnation. And people just month after month, year after year, you know, finally people say, well, my situation is hopeless because there's no change. But let that situation hear the word of the Lord today. You know, you can speak to that situation. Jesus says, speak to the mountain. That's right. You can speak to that situation. You can prophesy unto that situation today. And say to that situation, call that situation by name. You know it. Call it by name and say to it, thus saith the Lord, I will change the story line here. That's right. I will cause you to come alive. It was in the case of dry bones. It could be something else. Whatever it is, call it forth. The Lord has put the Spirit of God in your mouth, and that must not depart from your mouth. Call it forth every day. Pass it along. Call it forth. Thank you, Jesus. I call forth the dead bones to come back to life. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. And Christ shall give you life. Let all the dead things, bones, situations, dead dreams, let them come back to life in the name of Jesus. And let them leave. Glory to God. And once they are alive, let the Spirit of God move the wings. Let there be movement. Come into them and bring action in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you will not go back and forth. No. You're not going to go back into slumber. You're not going to go back into decay. But now there is life. Jesus said, not only can I raise from the dead, I'm the resurrection, but I am also the life. Sustain that which has come back to life. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, I pray over everyone that's in this room. I prophesy upon the dead things that may be in your life. The dead purposes, the dead dreams, the dead plans. I prophesy upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come back to life. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. And then I look, I prophesy unto the winds. Hallelujah. Put life into these in Jesus' name. Now, as these things are coming back together, I command that they come bone to his bone. Things are not going to be out of order. They're going to come back in order. Bone to his bone. Joint back to exactly the place where it fell off from. And not just out of order and no design. It's a design to what God did. And it's going to come back exactly like that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now therefore rejoice today and shout for victory. For the Lord has done it. But you must reenact this from time to time. There are times that you're going to have to come back and look. Because the devil, anytime you whoop him, he'll go away for a season. And then he'll come back, try to sneak back around, look for, you know, another crack and try to strike. You know, so you must continue to fight the good fight of faith. And you must continue to enforce that which the Lord has already done. And giving into your hands to do as well. And giving into your mouth to do as it is this day. Now, O Lord, I thank you. I give you the praise and I give you the glory. Let thy word, thy good word, which you have spoken concerning us, this year and the years ahead, that we will emerge. Let that word come to pass in the life of your children, as it is this day. Perform with your hand, O Lord, that which you spoke with your mouth, in the name of Jesus. And let thy spirit be in the mouth of these thy children, that every day we will release it. Hallelujah. Release it to the things that are dead and dying, decayed and decaying, dried and drying, and bring life to them, and cause the ones that are living to be sustained and increased. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.